Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. That from the prayer of Jesus, John chapter 17. The Lord wants us to be in the world, but not to be of the world. In other words, we don't have much choice as to where we live, in the sense that we all live on this planet. We don't have any other choices. And so we have to be, in that sense, in the world. Just by being a part of this creation, we have to come into contact with people that are not Christians. Jesus prayed, I don't want you, he prayed to the Father, to take my disciples out of the world. If we're going to have any kind of an influence on people, we have to be in the world. We have to have interaction with folks. But in the process, he does not want us to be of the world. In other words, we're not supposed to embrace the practices, the attitudes of those that are not trying to live their lives faithfully to God's will. Well, then how do we do that? How do we live in the world without being of the world? Well, we can rest assured that it's not going to happen by accident. It will require of us deliberate, conscious attention. And our text for this morning gives us the key. The text from Matthew 10. What we've got there is what we normally refer to as the limited commission, where Jesus chose the 12 and sent them out to limited boundaries. This is not like the great commission that he would give later after his resurrection when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, Mark 16:15. This was a limited commission. When he said to the 12, you go not to the Gentiles, not to the Samaritans, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you teach, you preach, you heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cleanse the lepers, you do all of these things. And in the process, the Lord warned them that they would be rejected. Not everyone is going to listen to what you have to say. When you go into a city, try to find those that are worthy. You spend time with them. You stay in their homes. But if they're not worthy, he said, simply shake the dust from your feet and proceed. And he adds, God will take care of such in his own time. The limited commission. And in the process, he said, as you go, conduct yourselves in this way. You be as wise as serpents, and at the same time harmless as doves. This is how we're to carry out the commission. There are a lot of similarities between the limited commission and the great commission, though there are differences as well. We today have a commission to go into all the world and preach, Mark 16:15. Make disciples of all the nations, Matthew 28:19. And it's also the case that as we go from time to time, we will face wolves. Jesus said to the 12, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. That certainly hasn't changed from that time to this. Jesus once told his followers, Matthew 10:24-25, that a disciple is not above his teacher. He would say on another occasion to his disciples, if they hated me, Or if they hate you, you'll know that they hated me before they hated you. So simply be ready for the wolves to attack. And as you carry out that commission, recognizing yourselves as sheep and the world as wolves, you do the following things. Number one, be wise as serpents. The word wise means prudent, sensible. Speaks of practical wisdom. Serpents were the ancient emblem of shrewdness. The ancient emblem of wisdom. In ancient Egyptian culture, for example, if they wanted to convey the idea of shrewdness or wisdom, the serpent was that which they would use to signify that. We read in Genesis 3 verse 1 that the serpent was more crafty, more cunning than any of the creatures that God had created. And snakes are that. They are crafty little things. They're always on the alert. Always know how to escape if danger comes upon them. I remember not too long ago, it's been a few years, 2 or 3 years ago, my brothers and I were working at my mother's house. And there was a ditch out beside her house next to the road that had been allowed to grow up with grass very, very large. The city was supposed to be taking care of that, but they weren't. And so we decided, well, we'll go out there and clean it up ourselves. And so we were out there and we were working very diligently. And I had I don't know if this is what everybody calls them. My daddy always called it a yo-yo. Y'all know what a yo-yo is? Watts does, Beecher does. All right, so I was out there and I was swinging the yo-yo, hacking down all of this tall grass. Yeah, it's like a sickle. And in the process of cutting down the large grass, I got down to the bottom in a particular area, and lo and behold, there was a snake. And so I immediately jumped down there to try to grab it. That is what you're supposed to do when you find a snake, right? I learned that from the croc hunter. But I jumped down there to try to catch the snake. And when I got down there, it was gone. And I crawled around. I was looking. I saw no hole. I saw no place for the snake to go. I just knew it wasn't there. And we looked and we searched. It was nowhere to be found. Snakes are that way. They're crafty. They know how to get away from danger. They know how to escape. Jesus said to the disciples, to the 12, you emulate serpents in that regard. You need to be wise. You need to be shrewd in your relationships with others. Remember, you are sheep in the midst of wolves. Don't ever forget that. The world is still full of sinful, wicked, immoral people. People that are hostile to Christianity. People that are hostile to biblical morality. People that care very little, if at all, about Bible teaching and truth. And we have to be careful. We have to be shrewd, if you will. We need to know how to handle different situations, how to avoid danger, to always be on the alert. There are admonitions aplenty in God's Word for us to be careful and not become too chummy, if you will, with those who are not interested in God's way of doing things. Notice these passages, Proverbs 13, verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. That's what we need to be. Well-advised, wise. Verse 20, Proverbs 13. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. If we want to be wise people ourselves, the Bible says you need to surround yourself with wise people and not be the companion of those that are foolish. If you'll turn again in Proverbs to chapter 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. We need to watch who we associate with. Chapter 22, beginning in verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. God is warning us, don't become closely associated with people that can't control their tempers. Why? Because you may learn to do the same. Just don't associate with folks like that. You are sheep in the midst of wolves. And the wolves will overpower you if you're not careful. But a word of caution is in order. Shrewdness as such can be a bad thing if it's not tempered. The Bible spoke of the craftiness of Satan. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. As the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness. Paul said, I fear that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. In Ephesians 4, verse 14, Paul talked about the trickery of men, where in their cunning craftiness they lie in wait to deceive. Shrewdness and craftiness can be a bad thing if it's not tempered by the next point. Be as wise as serpents, yet as harmless as doves. That's what's supposed to temper our shrewdness and our craftiness. The word harmless means unmixed, pure, sincere, without guile. Paul would admonish in Philippians 2, verse 15, that you be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. You see, we're to be people of integrity. We're not to allow our shrewdness, if you will, our wisdom to operate unchecked. As Jesus told the 12 to go out, they were not to take advantage of people with impure deception. And that's no less true today. We can't let our cautiousness that we're supposed to have as we interact with wolves from day to day, we can't allow that cautiousness to lead us to act without honesty. Wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. Each tempers the other. In our business relationships, we need to be harmless. We need to be without deceit. Proverbs 11, verse 1 says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. Our business practices need to be above reproach. In our personal relationships, we're to treat others the way we want to be treated. Matthew 7, 12. We're to provide things honorable in the sight of all. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21. And so as we deal with other people, we should not flatter with the lips, meaning to court favor with ulterior motives, to offer insincere compliments just to build up some kind of false rapport that we intend later to destroy. He that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his own feet. Proverbs 29, verse 5. So we're to be cautious. We're sheep, and there are a lot of wolves out there, so you be wise, you be shrewd, you be aware of that. But in the process, you be harmless too. Temper your shrewdness with sincerity and integrity, and not stoop to dishonesty in any circumstance. You see, either of those traits without the other is really not good for us to have. If we have a shrewdness and a wisdom of the things of the world in a way that is not tempered by our sincerity and integrity, that's not good. But we can have sincerity, but if we're so gullible, we just accept everything and have no discernment, that's bad too. So as we live from day to day and face the challenges of each day, the challenges are essentially these. One, to not be so gullible that we get ourselves into trouble by accepting things without discernment and without questioning. But the other is not being the other challenge is to not be so wise to the world's ways that we end up embracing them as our own. And what a challenge that is. With God's help, we can meet that challenge. Let us therefore be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. Is that what describes your relationship with God today? Are you discerning? Are you wise? Are you cautious as you go out and deal with the wolves every day? Or have you let your guard down and allowed the wolves to enter into your own life and pull you away from the one you're supposed to be serving? Examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And if you need to make some changes, make them. Perhaps you've been shrewd and cunning and crafty and you're wise to the way things are, but in the process you've lost your harmlessness. You've lost your integrity. And you've done things that are not becoming of one who possesses the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8 verse 9. If that describes you, then you must change as well and try to cultivate both of these characteristics in your own life. If you're not a child of God this morning, take advantage of the opportunity God has placed before you to become one. Put your faith in Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. Be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. And allow the blood of Christ to wash your sins away and let the Lord add you to His church.